Good afternoon and welcome to this afternoon's submissions committee. My name is Rob Adams and I'm the Director of City Design and Projects, and I move that Director of City Operations Martin Cutter be elected as the Chair of the Submissions Committee, Section 223 Committee. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hand. I declare the motion carried.
I declare the meeting open at 3:02. I would like to welcome committee members to the meeting of the Submissions Section 223 Committee, together with management and members of the public. We respectfully acknowledge that we're meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. The purpose of this meeting is to consider submissions received in relation to the proposed activities, public amenity and security local law 2017, and to hear any person who requested to be heard in support of their submission. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that the meeting is being recorded and will be made available on the City of Melbourne website as soon as practicable. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council Business Team after the meeting. I request that all mobile phones be turned to silent for the duration of the meeting. No apologies have been received. A request has been made by The Age to film or photograph the meeting. I ask that a committee member to move a motion that Submissions Section 223 Committee resolves to allow filming or photography of the Submissions 223 Committee meeting in accordance with the request made by The Age. I call for a member to second the motion.
I second the motion.
Are there any speakers for the motion?
No.
Are there any speakers against the motion?
No.
I will now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. Linda Witherson, Rob Adams and Martin Cutter. I declare the motion carried. I ask members of the committee whether they have either a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to the matter to be considered by committee.
No.
I call on committee member to move a resolution adopting the minutes of meeting number 38 held on Thursday the 8th of December 2016.
I'll move.
I call on the member to second the motion.
I second the motion.
Is there any opposition to the motion?
No.
I will now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. All those against, raise your hands. I declare the motion has been carried. I ask the committee members whether there are any matters arising from the minutes of the previous meeting?
No.
All right. We've had over 700 submissions in relation to Agenda Item 5.1, outcomes of the statutory public notice and submissions process for the proposed amendment to the activities, public amenity and security local law 2017. The following people have requested and been scheduled to address the committee meeting today in support of their submission. Andrew Reverend Father Klein, representative from the Homeless Persons Union Victoria, Simon Zlatkin, Olivia Frazetto. I also apologise if there's any pronunciation here with people's names. Lindy Patterson, Cliff Wong, Gabriella Da Costa, Tula Patchell, Ariel Lee Allen, Parthena Simone, Odratula Sultani, Rebecca Adams, Eternity Justice, Jennifer Black from the Fitzroy Legal Service Inc., Jason Craig, James Geraghty, Daniel Grozdanowski, Bill Swaney, College of Law and Justice, Victoria University, and Bill Swaney on behalf of the Law Institute of Victoria, Lucy Foley, Amy Murphy, Addo Barker, Helen Politis, Arthur Stoikas, Alphonse Benoit, Tara O'Connell, Andrew Booth, Jenny Ray, George Elias, Victoria Zurek, Alva Connolly, David Hillard from Clayton Utes, Tony McCosker from St Mary's House of Welcome, Jesse Slibes, Zoe Vale from Northern Services on behalf of Tony Keenan Launch Housing, Kate O'Neill Leroyd, Martin Prescott, Marcus Finlay, Harrison Smith, Mark Towler, and Dave. All submitters' names will appear in the minutes of the meeting. Due to the large number of requests received to address the committee will hear over half of the submissions today and the remainder at the reconvened meeting scheduled to commence on 3 p.m. on Thursday, 6th of April 2017, 1 week from today. I advise submitters that you will be invited to address the committee in order of your receipt of submission. You will have 3 minutes to address the committee. Given the large number of requests to be heard, it is the intention of the committee to adhere to this 3 minute time limit. A bell will ring at the completion of 2 minutes, signalling you have 1 minute remaining to conclude your address. Another bell will ring to signal the time allocated to you has finished. The committee encourages those submitters presenting a common position to ensure there is no repetition of points made. May I remind everyone that members of the public attending the council and committee meetings are expected to behave respectfully at all times. You are not permitted to engage with the council officers during the course of the meeting unless asked a question while making a submission. You are expected to be respectful to council officers when making a submission. In particular, you are to refrain from making adverse comments about individual officers. Officers are employees who have a right to be safe and treated with respect at their workplace. You may be asked to leave the meeting if your behaviour is considered inappropriate, disruptive or rude. Some general housekeeping matters as well. Toilets are located downstairs on level one. If you do need to go down there, access is via the same way you entered the building. And you are able to come and do that and return, obviously. And water is available at the back of the room if you so need it. Okay, agenda item 5.1, outcomes of the statutory public notice and submission process for the proposed amendment to the Activities of Public Amenity and Security Local Law 2017. I now call on Andrew Reverend Father Klein, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee, members of the public. You've got my submission. The Melbourne City Council faces a problem which is not an isolated crisis. We are facing national homelessness. That includes so many different areas as to what causes homelessness. But in my experience, these are not failed human beings. Circumstances, situations, things change, people become homeless. This is a matter which unfortunately has come to a peak or to a head with Melbourne City Council because Melbourne is seen as a leader in many areas. The Lord Mayor, other officials from the council, what they say people listen to because, and that's what it should be. I mean, Melbourne, we all love Melbourne. What's Melbourne going to do? My suggestion is that we approach this not in a punitive way. The measures suggested do not make it easier for the homeless. Others that will follow my address will discuss the legality and the possible legal courses that will be pursued, which to me is a waste of money. You know, I mean, why go that way? I see it as an opportunity for Melbourne to lead and show a light to the world in terms of how we deal with homelessness as an issue. How we help people that have a history of domestic violence, suffer from mental ill health, suffer from a whole range of things which cause homelessness. These are not broken people. These are not flawed people. These are simply people who, in many ways, have fallen through the cracks. You try to deal with any government department today, and it requires you to have connection to the internet. Let us take an advantage of us all being here now, today, get to know one another as individuals and address this problem. Punitive laws will not serve the homeless, will not serve our community. Let us all work together, deal with one another fairly, so that no one can walk away and say, well, we've been done over with this one. But we all have to accept the reality that it is a hard nut to crack as far as any council is concerned. But I believe that Melbourne City Council has the skill, the resources, and the ability to lead if that is a path that the council decides to take. And I'll leave you with that submission.
Thank you very much. I now call on a representative from the Homeless Persons Union Victoria to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I'll move on to the next one. I now call on Simon Zlatkin to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Olivia Frazetto to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Lindy Patterson to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Cliff Wong to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Gabriella Da Costa to speak for no more than 3 minutes. If these individuals do come in at some time during this meeting, as the meeting progresses, obviously if we can be informed, then we can accommodate them as they arrive. Which one's up? Yeah. I now call on Tula Pachul to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Ariel Lee Allen to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Parthena Simone to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Quadratula Sultani to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Rebecca Adams to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Eternity Justice to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Yes.
I don't often do this sort of thing. Maybe I do. I'd just like to point out that Council doesn't actually have the authority under the Local Government Act to even consider these laws. Section 118 of the Local Government Act says that the Local Government Act is a subordinate instrument, and sections 112 and 113 say that where local government legislation is in conflict with state or federal government legislation, it will either be unable to be passed into law or it will have no effect. These laws that have been proposed will be in conflict to many state and federal statutes, including, of course, the Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities Act 2006, which guarantees many things such as a right to property under Section 20 and under the freedom of movement, which I think is like Section 8 or something. These conflicts with other statutes aren't limited to the Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities Act 2006, which is a state government law. It's also in conflict with federal government laws and other state laws, but there's no real need, given only 3 minutes, to go into any further depth. It only has to be in conflict to one law and it can't be passed, it can't even be considered. Oh, and the only other thing is, who the hell's got the $3.5 million? I haven't seen any accountability for that at all, and I'll be looking into it. And that's it. I don't have anything else to say right at the moment.
All right. Thank you.
So, thanks.
Thank you. I now call on Jennifer Black, the Fitzroy Legal Service, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Jason Craig to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on James Geraghty to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. Thanks to the committee members and chair for the opportunity to address you today. It was just after 10 o'clock this morning, I think we got some summaries of the responses that people had provided to the engagement process here. It was interesting to see that there were quite a number of submissions, some in favour, some against, but one of the comments was that it was in particular members of the homelessness services and so on that had been most engaged and against the laws. I'd just like to say that I'm someone who made a submission just as a general member of the public, someone who works in the city and is a director of Melbourne-based companies. And I found out by chance about the opportunity to make a submission here today. I was thankfully able to find some time away from work to come and give this submission. And having heard a number of people here who weren't able to make the submissions they wanted to, I think that's the tip of the iceberg of people who probably would have loved to have come here and said that these laws are not consistent with their understanding of what the City of Melbourne is about. A lot of people made general submissions against the thrust of the activities local law changes, rather than addressing the specific changes. What was interesting was that even where people were against the laws, they seemed to be against very specific things, whether it be drunkenness in public, use of drugs, or aggressive begging and the like. None that I could see, although with the number of submissions I didn't get a chance to read them between 10 a.m. and now, none that I could see were asking for exactly the law that has been proposed here. It would have been interesting to see this consultation process with the same people who'd made submissions take place before we tried to come up with what is the law that would actively address and appropriately address the community's concerns. As I said, I found out about this by chance, but having asked a lot of my co-workers, on my floor alone there's 100 people, and I asked quite a lot of them how they felt about this. There was no one who put their hand up and said, it's about time that we made changes like this. Quite the contrary, everyone was very disappointed that something like this was happening and very hopeful that through some process or another, this would fail to become law in the City of Melbourne. That's all I've got to say. Thanks. Oh, and if I've got only my 3 minutes left, maybe someone else could have it.
I now call on Daniel Grosdanowski to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Bill Swanee, College of Law and Justice, Victoria University, to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Thank you, committee. I think when we're talking about the proposed law, we should be very clear and focused on what is its actual practical effect. And I think there can be no dispute that the practical effect of this local law would be to make it illegal to sleep rough in the City of Melbourne, and it would actually make it a crime to be homeless. By broadening the definition of camping within the local law, the proposed law makes it an offence to sleep on a piece of cardboard or a mattress in the city on a city footpath. And it's also important to be clear that up to this point, it's never been a crime in Victoria to simply be homeless. I think we should keep those two things in mind. And it's the fact that it's never been a crime to be homeless is an important point. It's not that Parliament has simply not got around to making this a crime before. It's been accepted up to this point by lawmakers and policymakers that it would be bad policy and it would be unfair to punish people simply for sleeping on the streets. In my experience as a tenancy lawyer, I assisted many people who were homeless or were at risk of homelessness. And these included people who are escaping from family violence, people who were suffering mental health issues, poverty, and many other reasons. The important point is that no one chooses to be homeless. And the criminal law is usually used to punish people for actions which are within their control and not for circumstances which are outside their control. But this is exactly what the proposed law would do. It would punish people for circumstances which are not within their control. It's important also to keep in mind that homeless people are some of the most disadvantaged and marginalised people within the community. The proposed law would not reduce homelessness. It would be ineffective in that way. It would simply entangle homeless people within the criminal justice system. It would make it more difficult for them to access private rental, to obtain a loan, to obtain employment. So it would make their situation worse without having any corresponding policy benefit. By broadening the definition of camping, it would capture all forms of sleeping rough in the city. The ordinary meaning of camping, as we know, means camping on a holiday or camping at a home away from home. But this definition seems to broaden that definition. And there's a possible argument that the definition of camping could be contrary to the Victorian Human Rights Charter, which protects the right to home. Because sleeping, a person who's sleeping on a mattress or a piece of cardboard in the city, that is their home, and these proposed laws would interfere with that right. And council should also consider... I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Bill, while you're there, I've got you here twice. You can now move on to your speaking on behalf of the Law Institute of Victoria for no more than 3 minutes.
That's right. Thank you.
If you choose to.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you to the committee for allowing us the opportunity to address you today on the proposed laws. The Law Institute of Victoria is concerned about the introduction of these proposed laws and the amendments to the Local Act. The proposed laws would... we believe that the proposed laws would breach obligations under the Victorian Charter of Human Rights and under international human rights law. We also believe that relying on move-on powers and infringement powers to address issues of homelessness and poverty would be ineffective and would cause a great burden on the courts, legal aid system and on police. Every person has the right to adequate housing, and this right is protected by international human rights law. It's worth noting that the UN Special Rapporteur on Adequate Housing has recently commented on these particular laws which we're discussing today and has criticised those laws for the fact that they criminalise homelessness and also that they discriminate against people by stopping them from engaging in life-sustaining activities, such as leaving their belongings while they wash. So under international human rights law, states, including local governments, are obliged to respect the obligation to adequate housing and also to combat discrimination, stigma and negative stereotyping of homeless people. The obligation is to combat these matters as a matter of urgency and also to provide legal protection to homeless people from discrimination and also from discrimination that they face based on their economic and social situation. The proposed law would discriminate against homeless people by punishing them for their situation. We commend the council for the assessment which will take place in terms of whether this proposed law is compatible with the Victorian Charter of Human Rights. We believe that it is not compatible with the Charter, because it unreasonably and unjustifiably interferes with the right to home within the Charter. While the local law doesn't specifically target homeless people, it seems quite clear that that is the effect that it will have, and that is the intention of the law as it's passed at the moment. We submit that the expanded move-on powers for authorised officers are unnecessary, and that Victoria Police currently have sufficient powers to deal with behaviour in public places in relation to drunkenness, offensive language, under the Summary Offences Act Victoria. We submit that evidence-based reform is required to reduce homelessness, and there is strong evidence that the best solutions are to invest in health and also in housing support services so that there is an adequate safety net for people who are either homeless or at risk of homelessness. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. I now call on Lucy Foley to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Amy Murphy to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Ardo Barker to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Helen Politis to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Arthur Stoikis to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Alphonse Benoit to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Tara O'Connell to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Andrew Booth to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Dear committee members, in a nutshell, I'm concerned that this proposed law goes too far, and there could be a compromise. Homeless people should still be allowed to sleep and camp in public places, providing they're not causing a public obstruction or nuisance, in groups of, say, up to 2 to 3 for safety, whilst there could be some provision to allow for the dispersal of larger camps and preferably rehouse the people in those camps. So my reasons are as follows. Basically, a lot of homeless people have got no option but to sleep rough. And they usually have very little or no money. So if there's a fine for leaving belongings in public spaces, then they're risking prosecution, criminal record, as well as losing their belongings. And so this seems really a cruel thing to do. And look, I appreciate that Melbourne Council and state government are trying to improve homeless services. There are a number of valuable initiatives and proposals for increased funding, and councils proposed safe overnight shelters seem to be an important stopgap measure. But realistically, it's going to be a while before safe, affordable and livable housing is provided to most homeless people. And so rough sleeping is going to continue. And I believe local councils in particular, have an important role in minimising the harm caused by rough sleeping, not making the situation worse. Because background to my concern, I live in Brunswick. I come to this CBD regularly, spoken to many homeless and some homeless service providers. Key concerns, often no accommodation available. Homeless services turn people away, and it still goes on. If you make a mistake in your first placement, months before you can reapply. So people are destined to sleep rough. Private rooming house, diabolical situation quite often. Filthy, broken down with drug-affected and violent people. So, for instance, I've heard a group of homeless gentlemen prefer to sleep and camp next to a freeway rather than get bashed up and get their belongings stolen in a private rooming house. It's just not the option. So to really put homeless rough sleepers down a whole lot more, it's just cruel and not workable. That's my point.
Thank you, Andrew. I now call on Ginny Ray to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on George Elias to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Victoria Zurek to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Alva Connolly to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on David Hillard from Clayton Utz to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Tony McCosker of St Mary's House of Welcome to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Jesse Schlibes to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Zoe Vale from Northern Services on behalf of Tony Keenan, Launch Housing, to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Tony's just arrived.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'll stop. I'll go back then. I now call on Tony McCosker from St Mary's House of Welcome. Is that you, Tony?
Tony,
sorry. Launch out. Oh, so you're Tony Keenan, are you? Tony, would you like to speak? Because I've listed here Zoe Vale to speak on your behalf. Do you want me to put you at the yeah, would you like me to put you at the end of the list, or are you prepared to talk now?
No.
Okay, we'll hold you. Yeah, okay, now we'll hold you for whatever long this as we go through this process. I now call on Kate O'Neill Leroy to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Martin Prescott to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
I have some low vision, so I need a little bit more light.
Can we? Right.
Lord Mayor and councillors and council staff, in the short time available, I will outline some of my personal and professional experience with homelessness and its complexity. On Tuesday, I met a person sleeping rough outside a City Loop station. I hope to gain further insight before speaking today. I said, "What should I say to the Lord Mayor?" She replied, "Speak from your heart." She offered her hand and I shook it. I apologise if anybody thinks that I should have consulted with them before speaking today, but all names and vignettes are disguised for privacy and confidentiality. So some case vignettes. Over 32 years I have provided accommodation to 28 homeless people in my own home for various lengths of time. Both Margaret Court, tennis champion, and Heidi Baker, church missionary from Mozambique, recently challenged Melbourneians to take the homeless into their homes. I have done this, on and off, without crossing professional boundaries. I met 35-year-old Emily when she was attending a professional conference. Both of us were professionals. Over the 3 days of the conference, she confided to me her fears of domestic violence. After the conference, I collected Emily and her six-year-old daughter from the fringe northern suburbs. Emily's daughter has now completed university. Charlie was referred to me by a religious nun. He continually called me Sir. Very quickly, I deduced that he had acquired brain injury as well as a history of an inmate in correction services. After 3 days accommodating him, I gave him money to fill up his camper van with petrol. Marg was a 45-year-old lady who became homeless when her husband died of brain cancer. She relived her feelings that she'd had when she'd witnessed both of her parents shot by gangland killing. Greg, and I'll talk about some professional situations here now. Greg was a psychiatric outpatient living in a private rooming house. On rainy days, the water dripped from the ceiling down the lighting wire, down the bare globe, onto his bed, totally soaking it. Marta was a 64-year-old, and she lived in another private rooming house. Three police officers were hesitant to break down her door because they feared that she would throw the bucket of feces over them.
Martin, I think that's your 3 minutes.
KC was a 28-year-old Aboriginal lady, and although intoxicated, one thing was very clear: she was proud of her Aboriginal heritage. She was also proud that grandfather...
I do appreciate her in a number of cases.
She was also proud that her grandfather was a... later...
Thank you, Martin. Thank you. I now call on Marcus Finlay to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
This is a submission to Melbourne City Council regarding proposed changes to the activities law. I'd like to thank the traditional owners and elders. I'd also like to thank the Mayor, councillors and my fellow Homeless Advisory Committee members and the public for this opportunity to express my views. I came to Melbourne over 45 years ago as a babe in arms on one of the last international passenger commercial jets to land at Essendon Airport before Tullamarine Airport. So much has changed since those early days. Most of those changes were a natural evolution of a great city. Some changes, however, have been totally unexpected and have left me confused, especially when I see such a generous population letting their leaders make such poor decisions with very little transparency or necessary social contract. I can't express my views strongly enough regarding proposed fines for homelessness, for homeless who are found camping or to have abandoned their belongings. This is not what I know Melbourne to want. The people of Melbourne have a heart much bigger than that, so I believed. I asked Council, should I stop believing that? Should I stop believing that Melbourne is one of the most generous cities in the world? I honestly believe this is the greatest city in the world. America may claim to be the greatest country in the world, but I would put Melbourne, Australia, up against any American city for the Pepsi Challenge. This, however, is totally dependent on how well we treat those individuals and families that are doing it the hardest, the homeless. I'd also like Council to have a look at the website, www.nationalhomeless.org publications / crime report all cities hotmail. A dream denied the criminalisation of homelessness in US cities. This might give Council an insight into some of the effects that their laws may have. There is also a portable town in the US named Nickelville in Seattle, which moves around onto land which has been given to them temporarily. This small community basically has been evicted 4 times in the last 12 months. Now they're on some land which has been volunteered to them for a period. What they'll do after that, who knows? But I think Melbourne has a lot more generous spirit than America, and I think that we can do this a lot better than any country in the world. And I think that we should make every effort to do that. Recently, both state and federal governments have allowed, have made generous promises regarding homelessness, with commitments of literally billions of dollars. And I think that Council should allow some time for these monies to do the work that they'll allow. And that before they consider passing these laws, they should pause to give some further consideration. I thank Council for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you, Marcus. I now call on Harrison Smith to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Mark Towler to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I now call on Dave to speak for no more than 3 minutes. I think we've just been informed that is Ado Barker here now? Oh, sorry, Ado. Yeah. We called you Ado a bit early. You weren't here at that time, but that's great. Do you want to speak for no more than 3 minutes?
My name's Ado Barker. I'm a social worker at the St Kilda Crisis Centre, but I'm speaking in a personal capacity today. I speak in strong objection to the Council's proposal. There's no doubt many submissions that will observe. I'm concerned that the proposed law will serve to further entrench the marginalisation of those the law is intended to target. While acknowledging the efforts to date of the Council to engage service providers in offering a response to people sleeping rough in the CBD, the much publicised rise in rough sleeping in the past 2 to 3 years is symptomatic of a much larger structural crisis in housing and homelessness in Victoria. A punitive approach to those congregating in the CBD will do nothing to address this crisis. It will at best shift what the Council perceives to be a problem to other areas of inner Melbourne, and at worst criminalise and further stigmatise those who, for any number of reasons, find themselves without safe and stable housing. I'm particularly concerned at the proposal to issue fines to individuals who leave their belongings in public places, and I'm sure Justice Connect will speak to this. Those who sleep on the streets of Melbourne have no choice but to conduct their lives in public spaces. To issue fines to people whose belongings are left in public places is to effectively criminalise rough sleeping, and I believe it's utterly disingenuous for the proponents of this law to claim otherwise. I do not have lived experience of homelessness, but I have worked at the front line of the specialist homelessness service system for 7 years or so. In that time, I've seen viable short and longer term options for individuals and families who approach our services in ever shorter supply. There's a critical shortage of supported crisis options for those in immediate need. A network of Victoria's worst motels provides what any reasonable community member might presume is the safety net for vulnerable Victorians. Beyond the one or two nights of motel crisis accom, there is, for many, particularly individuals, no option but referral to a private rooming house. And I couldn't count the number of times I've heard clients of our service say they feel safer sleeping rough than taking their chances in invisible private rooming houses somewhere in outer Melbourne. I urge the council to reconsider the proposed law and instead join with those experiencing or at risk of homelessness and the services tasked with assisting them to place renewed pressure on both state and federal governments to address the critical shortage of safe and supported crisis, that is, last resort accommodation options for all those in our community who find themselves in immediate need. Thanks for listening to me.
Thank you, Ado. I'll move back to Tony Keenan now to come up from Launch Housing to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Tony Keenan, CEO at Launch Housing. I'm also a resident and ratepayer in the City of Melbourne. Our submissions have been put forward, and I won't speak further than that. Where I'm starting might seem a little bit left field, but I worked for many years in the HIV/AIDS sector, including chairing the third national strategy on HIV and AIDS for the Keating government and then the Howard government. This was at a time when politics and populism seemed to not trump good social policy. The fact that HIV response in Australia was able to be a world famous response was because of leadership in the government. As a gay man in the 80s, I was terrified when HIV came to be, and the initial calls were to criminalise and quarantine. With leadership, bipartisan leadership from both parties, we resisted that. We knew that doing that would force people underground, it would force people to not seek testing, and that the only way to get a good health response was to look after the dignity and the human rights of those marginalised groups affected by HIV. I would submit that the council is going down the wrong track with this. I've come today from a funeral of a client, and yesterday I spent time with grieving parents of a client who died. People who are homeless, and in particular people who sleep rough, die at much younger ages. They die because they are at great risk on the streets, and they die from disproportionate murders, overdoses, assaults, and sexual assaults. Any law which forces people out of sight and underground puts them at risk, jeopardises their safety. I think it's appalling that the council is going down this track. We have years of strong leadership from governments, bipartisan leadership, where sound evidence-based policy is what drives political policy responses, not knee-jerk populism. If you use the do no harm as a starting point for public policy, doing this will increase the harm. It will increase the likelihood of people dying from overdoses because they're avoiding public places where they won't be seen. People who sleep rough do one of two things. They go to a very public place to be safe, or they go and hide. Numerous number of people who have recently been on the street were saying they were on the street to be safe. It was near police. Anything that forces people away from public gaze, away from protection, and away from agencies is dangerous, and it would be sheer negligence on the part of the council to countenance this. I urge you not to do it. I urge you to look at history, and I urge you to look at what we know about good social policy, and it is not criminalising or legislating social problems. We have an enormous social problem. We know why it's here. To do this is criminal.
Oh, thank you very much, Tony. We also have 32 speakers scheduled for next week on the 6th of April. I think at the moment there are two of those people who are in the room. Either of those people, I think Aaron Claringbold, if they would choose to speak today rather than next week, that would be fine. Is Aaron here or...? No worries, that's fine. And Alan Menadue, is he also here? No, okay, all right. I might just, given there was a number of people who had listed to speak and they haven't, I'm just going to go back through the list to make sure none of those people have walked in. And I'm sorry if I'm going back over names I've read before, but I just want to make sure that people who might have got in the last few minutes and we haven't missed them. There was Simon Zacklin. Please yell out if I read your name and you are here. All right. Olivia Frazetto. Lindy Patterson. Cliff Wong. Gabriella Da Costa. Chula Pachel. Ariel Lee Allen. Parthena Simone. Quadratula Sultani. Rebecca Adams, Jennifer Black, Jason Craig, Daniel Danowski, Lucy Foley, Amy Murphy, Helen Politis, Arthur Stoikis, Alphonse Benoit, Tara O'Connell, Jenny Ray, George Elias, Victoria Zurek, Alva Connolly, David Hillard, Tony McCosker, Jesse Schlebs, Kate O'Neill Leroy, Harrison Smith, Mark Towler, Dave. All right, this then concludes the submissions to be heard today. I call on our committee member to move a resolution to adjourn the submissions 223 committee to reconvene on Thursday the 6th of April at 3 p.m. in the Yarra Room, Level 2, same room as this for next week.
Okay.
Call on the committee member to second the motion. Is there any opposition to the motion?
No.
I now will put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands. All those against the motion, raise your hands. I declare the motion carried. I thank management, officers and members of the public for their interest and attendance. I declare the meeting adjourned at 3:50 p.m. Thank you all.